This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Melinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, this winter has been dreary. We've had lots of rain, but now it's time for festival fun. And that's just around the corner with the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival. And that's coming your way May the 30th through June the 2nd at the Lowe's Atlanta Hotel in Midtown. And so I brought in two of my favorite people, Elizabeth Feichter and David Danzig, my foodie correspondent.
Yeah.
So, guys, guys, this is just around the corner, and now is the time to buy your tickets.
I think so. Rush out right now.
Rush out
now. You can be ordering a ticket while we're talking.
So let's tell people who have never gone to the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival what it's all about, because there are so many different components to this festival.
There are, yes. I think that it's an awesome opportunity to experience the best of the South here in Atlanta. We say when we created the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival that it's Atlanta by destination, but it's Southern by design. So it's an opportunity for you to eat, drink, and explore your way through the South over 4 days. I promise you will leave full. Fasting will be on your agenda right after that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So there are tasting tents. Mm-hmm. There are classes, demonstrations.
You just keep going. On and on. Dinners and events. Yes.
Pop-up tents. There's lots of libations available.
Yeah.
And like I said, demonstrations. And there's sit-down dinners where you can just go and enjoy a great meal.
Yeah. We divided the weekend into 4 days. So we kick off on a Thursday with our Destination Delicious event. And that's a wonderful opportunity to explore all of the South at the Stav Room. We have all 13 states represented, and you can eat and drink your way through that. And then you're going to sleep it off for a little bit. And then Friday is our kickoff at the hotel. You mentioned Lowe's was our host hotel. We're very excited to be back there again this year. So we bring in about 200 or so talent from across the Southeast to create programming for our guests on Friday and Saturday. Our classroom experiences are held there. On Friday, we'll have a lunch event that kicks off on the terrace, and then we will do either a series of intensive master studios, which is a two-hour deep dive into learning and exploring through storytelling about food and beverage.
I love that.
I do, too. The Lee brothers out of Charleston have helped us to coordinate that.
Oh, they are a hoot.
They're so fun, and they really dive deep into, like, the stories that make food and beverage great, mm-hmm. and both of our blunders and, you know, our successes and kind of the history of food and what we've learned about it over time and all of those great things. So you either do the master studio for 2 hours, or you dive into two learning experiences that are an hour each, and that's our South By series. And so you'll go deep into what influences Southern food. So we're not just about Southern soul food is not just about here in the Southern United States, but we've been influenced by so many other different international regions that you get to dive into that in our South By series on Friday afternoon. And then you'll take a little break and you'll go to our tasting tents on Friday night. Again, you're going to sleep it off just briefly and then come back on Saturday to do it all over again.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about usually when you think of a festival, it's in a confined area. And it's pretty surface level. There's food and drinks and there's some music and it's sort of just lack
of contained.
Yeah, you just sort of meander through. This festival, I try to explain to people, it's kind of like Dragon Con for food nerds like me.
I love being Dragon Con. That makes me look really cool to my kids.
Yes, well, it does.
Thank you.
but I'm looking at all the talent that comes in for this, and I'm just a food nerd, so I look at these guys and ladies like they're rock stars
they're
movie stars, and they come from New Orleans, and they come from Charleston, and they're James Beard Award winners. Yeah. And to me, the beauty of this festival is you can go, like you were saying, you do these deep dive experiences, or you can just come and I don't know what just happened, but I had the best cocktail I ever had. I learned about craft beer. It's everything you'd want over 4 days
in a festival. It's something for everyone, I think, is the thing that we set out to do is that we wanted to provide that somebody called it PhD level food programming at one point,
sure.
which is awesome because you can, if that is your thing, you can dive deep and really learn about tradition and skill and pairing and grilling and, you know, what makes a beaten biscuit and, you know, all of the things about food that you might be interested in, or you might not care at all about
you
learning any of those things.
Class.
And you
don't even have to
eat. Exactly.
Yeah.
Auditing by eating and drinking.
And just enjoy that. But it's really special. It's something, as Atlanta continues its evolution to this world-class city, I mean, I feel like when you brought this festival, it just elevated us to this whole other level, and it's spectacular.
That's nice of you to say. I appreciate that. It's been fun to watch over the last 10 years the city, which has always been, held a dear place in my heart, and I think that we've always had great food and beverage, but the last 10 years has really seen an explosion.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've been put on the map.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a amazing southern gem, and the fact that these people from that join us for the festival grace us with their presence for this weekend and bring their talents to Atlanta is just an awesome opportunity to then go out and explore. I mean, that's what we wanted people to do when they came to Atlanta Food and Wine, is that they then were inspired to go to New Orleans and to go to Jackson, Mississippi, mm-hmm. and to, you know, to head up to D.C. and to, you know, explore down in Florida. That's what makes everything great, is like going to the root of it and seeing how it came to life and how it came to be, and hearing those talent come and tell those stories during Atlanta Food and Wine Festival. It makes me think twice about my summer plans and where I'm going to go. Where this year?
Well, there is a theme for this year's festival, and it's Off the Eaten Path.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that, because I saw that one of the unexpected pairings is pancakes and beer. Now, you know,
we always keep trying to find something to pair with beer.
Sounds
doesn't
like
everything pair with beer?
Yeah, in college, I would have done that out of necessity.
Yeah.
I think it's a cycle. It's a circle. We work our way back to that. I think it's more about the unexpected pairings and the unexpected places. For us, when we think about creating the advisory council, when we first started Atlanta Food and Wine, it was a group of people who helped us to identify other great people in their industry who were doing amazing things and the real rock stars, to your point, in the kitchens and behind the bars. For us, the advisory council now is about helping to drive that programming and coming up with those different concepts. And so Off the Eaten Path was an opportunity to highlight those unexpected gems, both the talent that are up and coming and maybe that nobody's heard of but should,
mm-hmm.
And then also the, you know, your favorites who maybe just are kind of tucked away down a hidden path or just off an undiscovered road, that it's an awesome opportunity to experience that in a new way and to bring those ideas to life, and the creative pairings and kind of unexpected things. So I think that's a good way to put it. If you think about a theme, it's that Atlanta Food and Wine Festival is about unexpected gems and discoveries along the way.
Yeah, thinking about outside
tasty
the
treasures.
Box.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the demonstrations will be in the Lowe's Hotel,
mm-hmm.
but the tasting tents have moved this year.
We're excited about that.
Yeah. Tell us.
That's wonderful. So people ask me, what's the most exciting thing every year? And it's hard to pick, but I'm really excited about this move. We've had an opportunity, when we started the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival, Midtown was just getting cranking on this latest round of growth, and we were looking for a luxury hotel partner where we could host those classes and demonstrations beside 50 to 60,000 square feet of green space. So easy to find in this city, especially with the rate of growth. And so we've had the opportunity to move to different places in the city. And this year is a chance for us to elevate our guest experience and to make sure that they're having the best opportunity to eat and drink that they can in the prettiest surroundings. And the Beltline has brought to the city of Atlanta just things that I can't even begin to gush
absolutely.
Over. It's just so awesome. So being right off the Beltline, right across from Ponce City Market, in kind of this little heart of the intersection of Midtown and Ponce Highlands and Virginia Highlands and all of those things, Inman Park, it's just right in the heart of things. And I love the opportunity for our guests to experience that. The park itself is really well set up for impact on the grass and for the, you know, it's got this really lovely long field, and we'll be able to do some more activations with our sponsors and partners, bring in exhibitors. We'll have about 120 or so different vendors and exhibitors each day for our guests to enjoy. So I love the layout and the flow. I think guests will really enjoy that. It's a lot easier to get into and out of for us, and I think that that's an awesome opportunity to show off our best.
So it sounds like folks can do one of the demonstrations in the Lowe's Hotel, then there's a lull in the activities, and then they can make their own way.
Mm-hmm. There are so many ways to get to this location. You can come in off the Beltline. You can come in on MARTA. You can come in on the various forms of Uber or Lyft or Jump or however many different
Take a scooter.
Scooters and bikes and whatnot, right. Shuttles that we have. We've purposely built in about an hour and a half to 2 hours between our classes. And as much as it has been fun for you to eat and drink that morning, I recommend a little break.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Take a little break and then make your way over to the tents because you're going to eat and drink some more. I promise it'll be worth that brief water break for you to get to the tents and then enjoy yourself some more. So, yes, there's lots of different ways to get there. It'll be easy to find, lots of parking around if you choose to drive.
Now, we're getting ready to take a break, but if people are listening and they're ready to buy their tickets now.
I thought you already did that. Weren't you logging on?
How did they do that?
So our website is ATL Food and Wine Festival, and there are a million ways to buy tickets. As you all have mentioned, you can buy them to our classes, to our tasting tents, to our dinners and events. You can buy them the whole weekend long. I'll be there all weekend. It'll be lots of different opportunities.
But the tasting tents are, they go quick, right? So you'd be wise.
We did sell out last year. So okay. I would go ahead and if you're not typing those letters into the computer, you should.
Yes, absolutely. And this is going on May the 30th through June the 2nd. Mm-hmm. So get your tickets now, folks. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton, and we're talking about the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival coming your way May the 30th through June the 2nd at the Lowe's Atlanta Hotel in Midtown. And I have in the studio Elizabeth Feichter and David Danzig, my foodie correspondent. You owe me, David.
Yeah.
And okay,
that was
so
perfect.
We want to tell you a couple of just housekeeping things about the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival. It's an adult-only event.
It is. It's an opportunity for a date night. It's an opportunity to get out as a single.
Date night.
Yeah.
It is an adult-only atmosphere, but you don't want to bring your kids to eat and drink with
it's
you all the time.
It's kind of like a vacation in a lot of ways.
We have
it's
lots
a
of people
real
do that
escape.
With us. Yeah.
It's a real escape when you go to any of this, the tents, everything. It's because it's a lot. It's so much exploration and discovery.
For me, too. I feel like a vacation.
Yeah, I bet you don't.
And then you take a vacation after your vacation.
Sure.
Yeah.
But don't think this is...
I wish I could go on this vacation.
Yes. But don't think that this is a hoity-toity kind of way to explore food. This is a really relaxed, intimate way to introduce yourself.
Well, there's something for everyone, I think, is the key for us, is that we really wanted the event to have an opportunity for you to come and join us, even if you just like to eat and drink. Or just eat, or just drink. You don't have to like both of them.
I like all of them.
Yeah, all the above, please.
Yeah, it's an easy way to get exposure to an awesome group of talent who cook amazing food and prepare amazing beverages. And that's all you need sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just that experience and that escape to a certain extent. You know, just come and enjoy and have a night off or have a day off with us. Join us.
Yeah, it's a very approachable. I would absolutely tell anybody out there listening, this is not... I mean, it's just try it. Just come explore. And if you want to be cerebral, you can learn about the origins of gumbo or fried chicken. And gosh, there's plenty of information like that. Or you can just eat
the gumbo and fried chicken.
Great food. And not think about it at all.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah, it's an awesome opportunity to do both.
Okay, and how do we get tickets to do that?
You join us on our website at ATL Food and Wine Festival, and there's an easy little buy tickets button, and you can choose from a bunch of different options and kind of join us for anything that your heart desires.
We can't wait to be there.
Thanks, I can't wait to have you.
Thank you, Elizabeth and David, for joining us in the studio. You've been listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, if you want one of the most delectable desserts in the city, you're going to go to Tiny Lou's, and your pastry chef is going to be Claudia Martinez, and she won Eater's Young Guns out of over 500 chefs, and we have been lucky. David Danzig, my foodie correspondent in the studio with me today, have been lucky to try three of her desserts. And Claudia, thanks for spending a little time in the studio with us. Talk us through what you brought to the studio today.
So today I brought three of our most popular desserts. One of them is a crepe cake It's a 32-layer crepe.
Just 32 layers.
It's a 32-layer crepes with vanilla mascarpone in between with a hibiscus lemon sumac sauce. And then...
Yeah, my wife's...
It's not heavy.
No, it's not so heavy. Light. Yes. The goal is for it to be not too heavy or sweet like most cakes. It's just a little bit more citrusy and light.
And crepes are these thin... It's basically a thin pancake,
yeah,
if you don't know what a crepe is. And 32 of those stacked up is just, it's like Jenga. I mean, it's a huge...
But it melts in your mouth.
It does melt in your mouth, but you bite through the... Like, it's such an interesting experience. Your desserts are so experiential, and you bite through, and you finally feel the crepes collapse, and it's a great experience, that dessert.
I think it's the favorite of mine of all three that you brought in.
Yeah, wife's obsessed with a crepe cake.
Well, we'll always have it. We just change the flavor during the season.
Okay, so what is another one that you brought?
We brought the Royale. This one's my personal favorite. It's 72% chocolate from Venezuela with a biscuit chocon on the bottom, cocoa streusel, cardamom cremeux, and coffee cream.
Okay. And you do have a Venezuelan connection because that is where your parents are from.
Yes, both of my parents are from there. And yeah.
You were born here in the United States.
Yes, I was born in Denver. Then I moved to Georgia after a year.
Okay, so we'll consider you
Georgia girl.
Yeah, Georgia,
you're ours. Yeah, you belong to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, and the third dessert?
The third dessert is named after the iconic dancer Blondie downstairs. It's the Eau de Blondie. It's a brown butter blondie with a hazelnut cremeux, candied hazelnuts, curry bananas, flambé, and buttermilk ice cream.
Yeah, so a lot of listeners probably know exactly what you're talking about, but just to give some context, so we're here with Claudia Martinez, pastry chef at Tiny Lou's. Tiny Lou's is the restaurant in Hotel Claremont. If you know where that is, it's on Ponce de Leon. It was a dilapidated hotel for many, many years. They've recently just done a beautiful job renovating it. It's a gorgeous hotel. Tiny Lou's is the restaurant in the hotel. Beneath the hotel is the iconic Claremont Lounge, which some listeners know exactly what I'm talking about. Others, it is a gentleman's club, but it's a...
I've been there. I had an absolute blast.
It's a it's more of a kitschy... But it is a strip bar, but it's got a lot of personality. And the iconic performer there is a African-American woman named Blondie, and she possesses a talent, you would say. She can crush an aluminum can with parts of her body. Upper parts of her body. And she just celebrated her 40th year performing this act. So it's just to give the context of how special Tiny Lou's is and where it fits in all the history. And Claudia just is... you know, my personal favorite pastry chef in the city right now. So it's so cool that you're here. And the only other thing I would tell you about, if you just listen to us describe these desserts, they sound complicated when you talk about them.
Because you were using words I've never heard of.
Yes. But they're so just simple to experience. They're beautiful to look at. And I feel like they're super approachable, even though when you describe them, it's like, well, I don't know what techniques you just use, but they're amazing.
Thank you. Claudia, you started your career as more on the savory side of things as a line cook at some of the most known restaurants in the city. Restaurant Eugene, Umi, and finally at Atlas. And how did you make your way from the savory side to being a pastry chef, one of the most well-known pastry chefs in the city?
Originally, I did want to become a chef. I loved cooking. I went to culinary school in Johnson, Wales. And then I also thought I wanted to have my own restaurant right then and there or become a restaurant manager. So I also did the food service management degree of it. And then when I moved back to Atlanta, I got a job at Restaurant Eugene. And luckily, they trained me in all these different stations because I thought it's important to become a chef. You have to know all the stations.
Sure.
You have to work front of house, back of house, pastry. And then it just ended up being where the pastry side was a little bit more short-staffed. And At first, it was really intimidating to do pastry because I didn't have that educational background or experience. But I worked under Aaron Russell, and he made it really approachable and fun. And I learned a lot of different techniques, and that it wasn't as scary. Like, you can make mistakes, you can experiment. And I like that part of working at these different restaurants at Eugene, at Atlas. Everyone is trying to do the next best thing. And after that, it was, should I stay on the savory or pastry? And then I decided to go to Sweden for a month and work under a pastry chef to see if this is really what I wanted to do.
And what was your deciding factor to go pastry?
It was after I went to Sweden. It was probably the best thing I've ever done. I felt comfortable. I was actually excited to go to work. I woke up at 6 a.m. every day there, and I worked until 7. And I didn't get paid for a month, but it was like, wow. I was excited to wake up.
Yeah.
Because he made it fun.
That's how you know that's your calling.
How do you come up with your inspiration for some of these desserts? I mean, do you drive down the street and you see a tree, is it driven by, oh, it's blueberry season and I'm going to come up with something totally unique and creative through ingredients?
Yeah, I try to focus on whatever's in season, like the blueberries that I have on right now. But I kind of just focus on things that I like or that other guests would like that are approachable. And I try to make desserts that take them back to a certain memory. So for me, we did have a creme de fraise dessert when we first opened. And when you tasted it, it was kind of like strawberry milk as a kid.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And for me, the Royale is like highlighting this really great chocolate. And that takes me back to just because I used to love chocolate. Like, I ate it all the time.
Yeah.
So memories like that is what I try to do. Just remind people, kind of like the blueberry one I have is a take on a blueberry cobbler. But there's so many different textures in the dessert that you're not eating an actual blueberry cobbler, but all those desserts and components make you kind of take you back to that.
So when you start to bring out a new dessert on the menu, how many times do you make that dessert, or how long does it take you for it to actually make it to the menu?
Roughly it takes about 4 days for me if I'm constantly working on it. I'll have an idea in my head, and then I'll think about it for a week, and I'll look through books, and then I'll test it out about 3 or 4 times. And I'm very stubborn when it comes to creating the desserts. So if there's anything that's wrong with it, I won't release it. I'll just keep working on it.
If you want, Blenda and I could come be your guinea pig. Yeah, we'll be your tasters.
Thank you. We'll be honest. Yes.
Well, you might just like everything, though, I think.
That's the problem.
It's perfect as it is. And you'll be like, not yet.
So you've put flavors together that are amazing that other people would probably not put together. How did you create your flavor profiles?
It's just kind of testing and seeing what goes together. I like to work with savory ingredients and incorporate it into pastry. So I think that background kind of helps me understand that certain flavors do work well together that most pastry chefs would be afraid to try. So like the curry and the bananas, I love Thai food. I used to work at a Thai restaurant in New York. So I wanted to incorporate that with rum. I love rum. So just stuff like that, just based on things that I like that I think will go together.
If I did that in my kitchen, it would go down the garbage disposal. It would not work.
Except the rum.
Except the rum, exactly.
It's a lot of testing. And I think the best book right now, The Flavor Bible, also helps me. And it just shows you all these different ingredients that go well together.
And you're part of the a group of restaurants. So Tiny Lou's is part of. So you're also working on several other restaurants in the city. The pastries and the dessert programs there. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, sure. I work for Indigo Road Restaurant Group. I was very thankful because Steve Palmer, the CEO of the company, and Jeb Aldrich, the executive chef of Tiny Lou's, they actually offered me the job after the tasting, which is very surprising because I've never been a pastry chef before, so they kind of took a chance on me being young with no experience. But after the tasting, we actually sat down and they offered me the Tiny Lou's job, but then they also offered me to do Donetto and Oku, which Donetto is a Italian restaurant, West Midtown, and Oku is a sushi restaurant. So we actually have three Japanese style desserts there. I have some help from another pastry chef that works with me there. And then we do Donetto. And then I also help in Oak Nashville. So we have a...
Your mark's... You're just spreading your mark everywhere.
Well, you definitely have talent, Claudia Martinez. And thank you for sharing it with us. Tiny Lou's is lucky to have you. And we're lucky to be able to taste your desserts whenever we possibly can. David, thanks for joining us in the studio. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Hey, welcome back, y'all, to Atlanta Living. It is time for Breaking Chews, our weekly check-in on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, chefs, and festivals. I'm here with our favorite foodie correspondent, David Danzig, food writer for Encore Magazine and his own website, bitesandsights.net. So this week you visited a new food hall and got your taco fix on.
I did. I took a ride up I-75 and arrived at the very impressive Marietta Square Market. Mm. This is an all-new food hall, so they're popping up everywhere. It has 17 eating outlets, so restaurants and stalls. And the one that I zeroed in on for my first visit was Street Taco. So the Marietta Square Market sits, as you might expect, it's right off the historic Marietta Square, and it's just feet from the iconic railroad tracks. There are trains going through there all the time. And the hall resembles the layout of Inman Park's Croag Street Market, if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
Same landlord or same developer. And it's filled with anything, any cuisine you can imagine. They have burgers, Cajun, ramen, pizza, there's a Cuban concept, Thai, there's a Cousin's lobster roll place there. So, but Street Taco, that's one of the larger spaces in the hall, and there's lots of indoor and outdoor seating there. It's a sit-down restaurant. They have this amazing, colorful, wall-sized mural by a very famous Mexican street artist named News. I've got pictures of that on my website. The menu is, as you could probably expect, it's Mexican street food, and it's highlighted with tacos. Mm. There are 8 taco varieties. You can go corn or flour tortilla, fresh smoked brisket. They've got blackened shrimp. They do a pork pozole taco, chicken tinga, crispy mahi-mahi, even tofu. I mean,
wow.
Really fresh, wickedly flavorful. They've got salads and burritos. They have some great sides. They do this charred street broccoli. They do a dirty rice, and the Mexican street corn is
an absolute must
there. It's spectacular. They do have a liquor license. You can grab a margarita, ice cold cerveza, and enjoy it while the trains come by. So Marietta Square Market's very impressive food hall. There's a 1922 trolley that sits out front. Lots of places to explore, and great place to start is Street Taco.
Cool. Where can we find you during the week, sweetheart?
I've got all this information up at my website, which is bitesandsites.net, B-I-T-E-S, the letter N-S-I-T-E-S.net. And definitely follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Bites and Sites.
I love your photos.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.